Let's turn to the Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, starting from verse 1.
Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood.
Now here the word of God is saying, this genealogy is given. These are the generation of the Noah. He says Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, as we know, most of the people know Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But their age is not the same as here is written. The Ham is the youngest one, but his name is given in the middle. And last time, if you remember, when the youngest one did some mischiefs, seeing the nakedness of his father, the Noah cursed Ham and his sons. And so now, when we're reading this, you will be seeing it's not given like a Shem, Ham, and Japheth, like a genealogy, starting from Japheth, instead of starting from Shem. Why? It did not give like a Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But here we see, when we're seeing this genealogy right now, and the last is talking about Shem. Why he's saying this? Because from the beginning, when you see the genealogy coming from Shem's, from Seth. And when you come to the Jesus Christ and they try to trace the genealogy of Jesus Christ and how he came, he comes from the Seth's family, Abraham comes from the Seth's family, David comes from the Seth's family. And when we read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so we see Shem brings Jewish nations, and from Jewish nations comes Jesus as the Savior. Let's read the Genesis chapter 10, verse 2.
The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras.
Now here we see Japheth's family is given. Now when you say he is given that Gomer, the Magog, the Madai and Javan, right now we don't know those people, but now their modern name is Magog means Russia. Medan means Persian people. And from Persia, some people went to some India and they call now Parsis. And so Javan, the people came Greeks, Italian, Spaniards, and Portuguese. And then Gomer, Germanese, French, Welsh, Irish, British, an European country, and some Asian people came from his tribe. Okay, let's read a little bit further.
And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarma. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations.
Now, these are the Japheth's family, and I already told you where they are settled. Most of this Japheth's family in European countries and some of them in Asia, you can see. And so these are the Japheth's family, Ham's family. Let's read that from Genesis chapter 6.
And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Rama and Sabteca. And the sons of Rama, Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech and Akkad and Calna in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Ashur, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city.
Okay, now here we see the Ham was cursed. But when you see his genealogy, there are so many great people came out of him. Now, when we see somebody says Cush or Cush, the people from all Ethiopia, Arabia, Babylonians, and some of the people from Ham's family went to India, that's like South India, and then Mizraim is called Egypt, but in our language, we still call Misr, and some South Indian language, they call Mizraim. And so the Mizraim, these Egyptian people, and other people are Libya, and some African people in Northern Africa. So then Canaan, Palestine, Arabia, and Sidon, Gezer, Gaza, Sodom, and Gomorrah. Now all these names, when you read in a modern language, you know all these people. This you can say Ethiopia, or Arabia, or Babylonian, or people in Egypt and Libyans, they are all the enemies of Israel. And when you start reading a little bit further, when you go to the Exodus, and when they came from Egypt already was destroyed before they came, and then all these nations, what we read now, those all the nations and nations from Canaan in the surrounding Palestine and those Philistines, they were all destroyed by Israeli people. And so you can see all this genealogy is given, and modern people we see in the world today, and all of those Ham's children, they are all enemy to God's people. And as we learned before, that all people came from Noah, most of the 99% people are heathens. Thank God some in European country in 20th century or 18th century, there was a revival, and many people came from Britain and all European countries. They get saved. They had a mission. They went to India and other parts of the world and present the Christ, and many people got saved. But today, they put Jesus out of their books and court system, and many European countries now, they have more Muslims, and some of the Muslims are going to take over their cities, and we see so much crime happening there. And now in America also, we had freedom, but now our freedom, religious freedom, is little by little, is taken it away. Can you imagine in America, we are living in free country, people come from the Muslim country and they want to worship wherever they want to worship. They want to worship in airport, nobody says anything. They want to worship in the hospital, nobody says anything. They want to worship in their schools, nobody says anything. And they can put their prayer shawl or whatever, rug or something, and they pray anywhere 3 times a day, and no American people can oppose them. Why are you bringing your religion here? But when you pray on your food, or you pray under the flag, or you talk in your work about Jesus, or even the government, they are against you. What's happening? No American has courage to tell our government, why are you allowing the Muslim people to pray, and they have freedom to pray in our country, and we don't have freedom to go and pray in their country, or we don't have freedom to go and preach in their country. They come to our country and they put their carpet there, or whatever, the prayer rug, and pray. And nobody says anything. Why can we have the freedom to preach the gospel or pray? So the point I'm making, I'm not telling you to go and fight. Pray about it. Prayer changes the things. We want unity in prayer. Before Jesus Christ comes, I would like to see the revival in this country a Christian revival. People coming to Christ, people going to church, people are not afraid to pray. In the hotel or motel or restaurant you go, you don't be afraid to pray. If you pray and somebody comes and say, hey, you cannot pray, say, take your food, I'm out. They will be not telling you not to pray, because we have to have courage. When I go anywhere, when I go to a restaurant or a supermarket or anywhere, I try to witness. Sometimes somebody will come and say, shh, don't say it, because, you know, they might lose their job, or they might not allow you to do it. I said, if they tell me, I will not shop here. I'll go somewhere else. But thank God, up to now, nobody told me not to pray. On the bus stop, in the supermarket, or anywhere, and when I get my food in restaurant or somewhere, I pray loud. Not even whisper. I pray loud so all people can hear. What I'm trying to say, we should have courage. Jesus Christ has given us power and authority. Now here we are reading, Ham's children are cursed. But see, even that they are cursed, and one son, he is called a Nimrod. We're reading that in Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. This Nimrod, one of the Ham's son or grandson. Look at him. He might have heard that my father is cursed, and my father is cursed, that's why we are going to be cursed. So he is trying to take over. He is trying to say, who is God? Now, when I was reading this, he said, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Verse 10. When you say mighty hunter before the Lord, that means something God is approving or something. But it's not like that. He is going against God. He is saying, who is God? I am a mighty man, just like a Goliath. He was saying, who is your God? And he was blaspheming. The same way when he say mighty hunter, this man is like a Goliath. And he is mighty. And he is a hunter. What the hunters, they do? They kill. He was not only killing animals, he was going on mountains and here and there and killing all the vicious animals. And so the people start afraid of him. He's a mighty man. And if somebody doesn't listen to him, he will kill them too. And that's the way he took over. Just like, you know, how this Muslim religion came into. If you know, it came by sword. If you don't want to listen to our religion, we are going to kill you. And the people are afraid, and they gave up, and the Muslim religion came in. Go to every part. You go to Iran, you go to Iraq, you go to all the Muslim countries. Those all people were fully Christians, and they killed them and destroyed them. Then all these Muslim country, many, many Christian people are there, and there are old, traditional, old, big churches. And they are burning it, and they're destroying it, and nobody's saying anything. Our military there, our people are there, nobody's saying anything. And they're coming to complain. If recently you saw, they come to peacefully telling the government, we helped to get this our leader out, now give us some freedom. What they did? All the tanks and everything going and killing them, and so many people were destroyed, and nobody's saying anything. What is happening? Because these people are taking over with the sword. That's the same way Nimrod did. He didn't have the sword at that time, but he had the arrow and bows. So he started hunting people, destroying people, and he was saying, there is no God. If the God is there, he should take care of me. He should destroy me. Nobody's doing anything, so I am God. And that's what this false religion started in Babel. He is the founder of Babel. And so he was the man, when you say, mighty hunter before the Lord. He was before the Lord, doing all these things. And somebody said, why God did not stop him? Today also people say, why God is not stopping all this evil? You know why? Because God has given us freedom. And he has given us free will. Do whatever you want. If you remember, we were studying the book of Revelation. In the last chapter, he says, if somebody is filthy, let him filthy still. Some is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. Now somebody says, God has given us permission to be filthy, to be unrighteous, and do whatever we want to do. But what the word of God is saying, I have given you life and death. Choose the life. Otherwise, wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what the God has given us freedom, people are taking the freedom and going against God. And so what's happening? Freedom God has given, and we are using that freedom to go against God. And people are saying, God is not doing anything. They do all kinds of evil things. Robbing, killing the babies, anything they do, and they are not zapped right away. So they think nothing is happening. And sometimes they do evil things, kill somebody, and say, what happened? Oh, God told me to do it. They put the God's name and do it in the name of God, they are doing it. And now you see, all these Muslim people, they do something, what they're saying? They are doing for their God. The name of God, people are doing everything wrong. And so this man, he doesn't have any God, and he is tried killing and destroying people. Do you know there was another hunter? Jacob and Esau. Esau was a mighty hunter, and he used to go and hunt and bring food. But what happened? One day he didn't get anything. What happened? When you going on your flesh, your power, your strength, always your strength will not work. You have to depend on God. So this man goes and he doesn't find anything, and he comes to his younger brother, give me that red porridge. He said, I'm not going to give you that easy. Give me your birthright. And you know the story. When he gives his birthright, he loses everything. And so the point I'm making, this man is a mighty hunter, killing people, destroying people, and taking the kingdom over. That means he is saying, I am the king. Bow down to me. Worship me. And all this Babylonian teaching came against God. And everybody we see from Ham's family as well as the Japheth family, nobody was worshiping God. Simply, they thought they forgot everything. Do you know, as soon as God saved Noah and his family, first thing what Noah did? Put the altar and prayed and thanked God. God even promised him and his all children and children's children, even to us, I'm not going to destroy the earth by flood. So when these people listen to this, some people start thinking, thank God, now no flood is coming. But Nimrod, he doesn't believe in God. He said, who is that God telling us there will be no flood? If the flood came and all of our people died, we have to do something. That we will be learning next week. But here the word of God is saying, this man gather everybody and try to tell them, listen to me. People can listen to the worldly people when there is a sword, there is a gun. You remember somebody comes to do something, he put the guns on your head. And then when you put the gun on your head, they are helpless. They say, okay, do whatever you want to do. But if you are a man of God, what you do? And if you don't have a strength to fight with him, what do? We just call upon Jesus. Shout as much as you can in the name of Jesus. I guarantee you the man will drop his gun and run away. I have seen many times. One man came to rob one grandmother, and she saw him with the gun and everything. He said, "Sonny, sit down here." As soon as she said, "Sit down here," he just sat. And then she made a beautiful breakfast and gave it to him. And then he said, "Honey, what are you doing?" He said, "No, Grandma, I am not going to do anything harm to you." And he left. This lady had the power of God. And sometimes some people say, "In the name of Jesus, I tell you to stop right there." And they can stop, can be paralyzed, can be blind, and will not do any harm to you. I was preaching one day in Jew Beach. And I'm preaching and preaching against the sinful life of the people are living. One man coming running. So he thought, "I'll run," because there was not a Christian, one brother standing beside me. I was alone. Bible says at least you go two by two. That day I made a mistake. I went alone. If there is a two by two, then somebody can help you. So I went there and I'm preaching and this man coming running and holding his hand like that. I would just stood there and I said, "In the name of Jesus, stand still," or something like that. He fell down. He fell on the sand. He could not get up. Other people were standing. I said, "Could you go and help him out?" And they helped him out. And then he stood there like a mouse. Did not do any harm to me. Our God is so powerful. We have to use the name of God. Whole world can be one side. But if you have Jesus with you, you are majority. Jesus is the powerful name. We have to use that name. One day I was just walking and there was another Christian brother with me. We were walking and here comes the Hindu people camping there to build the Hindu temple. And they were camping there for 6 months and they were not going to move there until they get their funds. And so here I go and the Spirit of God told me, "You preach here." And so I whispered to other brother, I say, "God is telling me to preach here." He might be thinking, this brother doesn't have any sense. He says, "Brother Peter, these people are Hindus. And there is not a one Christian person. And they are going to kill you." I said, "When God told me to preach, I'm going to listen to God." And so the one man, he is standing on one foot. 1 foot for 18 years. So his foot could not come down. He is like a stuck like this. And so this man came because I was having good clothes. So he thought maybe I'm a businessman. He comes and whispers in my ears, "We are building the temple of some god." And he says, "Could you give us at least $10? I said, "Sir, before I can do anything, can I say something?" So he thought maybe he's going to give us money. So he goes to his priest, whispers to his ears. He said, "This man wants to say something. He needs permission." He said, "Okay." So now I'm standing before this Hindu priest and I open the Bible in the book of Acts. He says, "What kind of temple you're going to build for me? God does not live in a hand-built temple." And I preached there and a couple of hours. And then I had the appointment. I was going to go with that civil engineer. There are another civil engineer was sick. So we had an appointment. So I said to that person, "Sir, I'm going to stop my preaching now. And if God willing, I'll come back again. And so I'm going." So this Hindu priest says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I want to go and have some prayer meeting in somebody's house." He said, "You are not going." "What's the problem?" He said, "You preaching your Christianity in front of me and you have your mother's milk on your lips." I didn't understand what he was trying to say, but now I understood. He starts saying, "You are too young. You are too young to tell us all these things. We know our religion and you telling us your foreign religion here? I said, I'll come back and tell you more. He said, you are not going. If you want to go, we are going to give you something to drink. And if you drink that, I'll let you go. He brings the big jar, maybe 16-ounce water in. And he mixed something. And the brother was sitting, he can see. I was looking this way and he was behind me, so he saw something. And he was speaking South Indian language. So these people are North Indian. They don't know South Indian language. So he speaks to me in South Indian language because I know the language. He says, please don't drink that because I saw him some powder putting in there. And I says, brother, don't worry. Mark chapter 16, the word of God says, even though you drink any deadly poisonous things, it will not harm you. So I said, pray, just pray. And so he was sitting there and he was looking this way and I was preaching this way. But anyhow, the man gave me the thing to drink. I took the thing in my hand. I said, sir, I'm not thirsty. He said, you thirsty or not, you have to drink it. Now, if I drank one sip and kept it there, he would not say anything. But I prayed over it. I said, Lord, I don't know what it is. This man is forcing me to drink. And your word says even if it's a deadly poisonous thing, it will not hurt you. So I'm drinking in the name of Jesus. And I drank everything and I gave them empty jar. I said, can I go? He said, go, go, go. Because he knew that I'm going to faint and die. So we went. As we were going, this brother is saying, Brother Peter, it's a hospital here. We were walking and the hospital was right there. And my wife used to work there and all other nurses, they knew me. And so they would take care of me. And so I said, no, sir. If this poison is given to die, then I'm going to die. No doctor has power to give me a life. So let's go to your friend's place. And we went there and prayed for him and we came back. Because I promised this man I'll come back. When I came back, it was like almost 9 o'clock. And they were camping there for 6 months. They were not going to go anywhere. When I came there, nobody was there. The camp was empty and ground was completely empty. Nothing you can find. When this happened, this brother got more scared. He said, from this brother Peter, they gave you poison. Let's go to the doctor. I said, sir, up to now I'm alive. Three hours or so passed. I'm not going to die. And by the grace of God, I am still alive. What I'm trying to say, our God is more powerful than any enemy. We cannot be afraid and have fearful life looking at the other things. We look for our problem, looks like a mountain. What the word of God says, magnify the Lord. Make your God bigger than your problem. So what happens? Your problem looks small. And so I learned to trust in God. There is nothing impossible with God. When I hear all these things, the mighty hunter and mighty warrior and all of those things, these people come to scare you, don't be afraid. Our God is greater than anybody else. Our God has given us more power, more wisdom, more grace, and we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. We cannot say, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. You can do all things when we put Jesus first. Only people get defeated when they do not have Jesus. Now, Nimrod started his kingdom. Let's read the verse 10.
And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar.
See, where are the kingdom? 1, 2, 3, and 4 places his kingdom was. Not only Babylon, Erech, the Akkad, the Kaliath, or the land of Shinar. And not only that, then one of his followers came and started the place called Nineveh. Now you know the story about Nineveh. All these people are evil. Wherever they go, they start their kingdom with a demonic mind in their heart. And we saw the Nineveh was completely demonic. Nobody was worshiping God. And God says, I'm going to destroy the Nineveh. And you know that story. God sent Jonah. Jonah, you go there and give them the message that I'm going to destroy these people. But the Jonah thought, our God is so merciful. As soon as I preach there, and if they repent, God is not going to destroy them. And this Nineveh, people from Nineveh, they did so many damage to Israeli people. And so the Jonah was so mad, and he wanted these people to be destroyed, just like us. Sometimes we are angry at somebody, and we curse them. We say, Lord, destroy them. Destroy in front of me. And that's what we want to see the enemy destroyed. But nobody prays, Lord, save them. Did anybody pray that, enemies to be saved? One day I was in Rising Sun Avenue and preaching, and here we saw, before I came to preach, this man, Noriega. Did you hear about Noriega? He had the sword, and he was hitting the sword on his pulpit, and he was so angry at America. And I raised my hand and said, Lord, save this Noriega. And our people went there and captured him and put him in a jail. And I heard Noriega got saved. He became born again. Point I'm making, we can pray. God can save people. He can change the people. Other day I saw one man, years ago. This man was a preacher like a Billy Graham. But he was against Pentecostal, against speaking in tongue. And so many books and tapes he made. And I said to my wife, I said, see this man, he might be a next Billy Graham. Hundreds and thousands of people following him. And so I saw him on TV. I raised my hand and said, Lord, save him. Change his mind. And let him be a Pentecostal brother. Didn't work that same day, but something happened to his head. He went to one Pentecostal brother to pray for him. And he prayed for him. He said nothing happened right away, but when he reached home, completely transformed. And he said, I took all the books against Pentecostal, all the tapes, and I burned them. Today he has a television program, and his wife is completely sold out to Jesus, and both of them serving the Lord, not against Pentecostal, for Pentecostal. So see, it works. One man's prayer can change the nation. We have to be courageous, and we do not afraid of anything. We have to say, Lord, change this situation. And so Nineveh, one of the Ham's sons, grandsons or so, going to Nineveh and establishing this city. And there they did all evil things. God sends Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go. Then you know the story. Someday we'll read the book of Jonah. But God changed Jonah's heart. And Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish. It was not a whale. It was not a shark. It was a big fish, prepared just for the same time. Why I'm saying this, when you say big whale, some people say, oh, whale is big, but her throat is small, so she cannot swallow Jonah. And then somebody says, okay, it's a shark, so shark cannot swallow the Jonah, so story is wrong. Bible says God prepared a special big fish. So it was a special fish. And so the point I'm making, when he was in the fish belly, he prayed, repented, and said, Lord, I will go to Nineveh and I will preach. So what the fish does, brings right to the shore and warm it up. And so he gets out with all these dirty clothes and goes to Nineveh and says, repent. And he might have given his story, look at me. I was completely destroyed in the fish's belly. But God gave me second chance. Now we repent, otherwise you're going to be destroyed. And God saved the city. Those people repented, not only people, the animal and everybody fasted. And God changed the city overnight. The point I'm making, God's power is greater than anybody. I never saw one preacher yet going and changing the whole city or whole nation or whole country in 1 or 2 days preaching. Billy Graham is a great preacher. Walter Robert is a great preacher, and so many great preachers are today, but not a single person changed the whole city in 3 days. Only Jonah did. But Jesus Christ says, greater than Jonah is here. Greater than Solomon is here. So Jesus Christ is greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon, and greater than the temple. Jesus Christ is the greatest one living in us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Please read. It says, the greater one lives in us. So what is in the world? The world, we have a devil. And they picture horns and this and that. Is a Halloween coming. The Halloween people doing, they're inviting the enemy, the devil, into their house. Spooky things in their house. And their house will be demon possessed. Because you are inviting devil. Please read.
Ye are of God, a little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
So greater one lives in me. Why should I invite the demons? Demons, they don't have power. We cast out demons in the name of Jesus. There was a lady who was chained, like a dog's chain, chained in the tree or in their house. And they brought her for prayer, and she was sitting there and started hitting the ladies when I was preaching. I said, stop it in the name of Jesus. I didn't know what that lady had problem. After that, I cast the demon out. She went home and cooked the dinner for the whole family. That's the lady who was tied like a dog. Our God is a great God. We have to know the greater one lives in me. We don't have to be afraid of anybody, anyone, or anything. Don't invite the devils in your house. If you have a Ouija board or Harry Potter's book or things like that, burn it. Throw it out. Or somebody say, oh, but because they are using in a school and you have to use it. Tell the people, I'm not studying this book. They can fail you in that subject. You're not going to go to hell. My son went to LaSalle University. And when he was writing some of the things, then the priest, they do not believe in Bible. Some people say, oh, there is no Abraham, there is no flood, there is no this and that. But he wrote everything what the Bible says. And they failed him in that subject. But, thank God, he still passed. Why? Because these people are not knowing the Word of God. And so even the Christian university seems like they are Christian, but all these priests, they never study the Bible. They study catechism, this and that, and some other things. They don't know how to get one person born again. They don't know that. And so the point I'm making, we should be rooted and grounded in the Lord. If your children go into Hindu school or Christian school or the regular school, your job is train them at home. Train them at home and tell them this is what the Bible teaches. I put the foundation in my children's life. Before they were born, I prayed on my wife's stomach. And when they came out, I start teaching them the Word of God. Priscilla was, 6 years or 8 years old. And her principal is asking her a question. Do you speak in tongue or something like that? She said, yes, I do speak in tongue. And they were dead against her speaking in tongue. And so they wanted to make fun of her. They said, the principal, he said, oh, could you speak for me in tongue? God gave her wisdom to say, I'm not speaking with you. When I speak in tongue, I speak with God. Why should I talk to you? You're not God. So the point I'm making, even that they are little children, they were in the school, But they did not go with the flow. They stood the ground. Why? Because they knew the truth. So here we're seeing the Ham's children, they knew my father is cursed by God. My father is cursed by my grandfather. So we are going to see what that father is doing. Now they are flourishing. They are doing so many great things. And when you see all these great things people are doing, and they are not Christian, and they are not going to church, and then people say, wow, if he can do these things without going to church, and if he prospers without going to church, I'm going to do what he's doing. You read the Psalm 37. He says, David says, I saw the enemy or my enemies flourishing like a green tree. And he says, when I came back, I could not find even the root. That's what happens. People are flourish, just like a Nimrod, flourishing, big name, big fame. And people are thinking, look at these people doing all this good and they don't go to church. You see, someday they will be completely down or completely sick and completely having broken life. There are billionaires. What are they doing? Sickness, disease, problem they are facing, and they kill themselves. So many movie stars and big people, they are struggling with a drug, alcohol, and all kinds of problems, and they don't know how to come to Jesus. Simplest thing, come to Jesus and he will set you free. But they don't want Jesus. They are trying their best and died. You saw this Michael Jackson. What happened? He want to change, look outwardly like other people, do the surgery on his nose and do all of the things and looking good and trying to impress people, but emptiness inside, and that killed him. Now the case is going on. What the point I'm making here? You need God. The money and fame is going to kill you, is going to destroy you. Millionaires, lots of money. What that money did? The money is not going to save you. Money today you have, tomorrow that money will kill you. The word of God says the last days are coming. Now silver and gold. You know what? Many, many advertisements are coming today. What they're saying? The money is worthless. Get gold. And somebody say, okay, I'm going to get gold. You can get any gold. But the last days, the word of God says they are going to throw their silver and gold on the street. They will not have value. Just think, you had $1 million and you got a gold of everything. Could you take a big gold piece and go to supermarket and say, give me a grocery? You will not get a grocery with the gold, even though you have it. You can die and you can chew in gold, you will die. So gold is not the answer. What is the answer? Jesus is the answer. Okay, let's go back to our chapter. Almost time is gone, but I'm going to finish. This chapter is just the genealogy. Okay. 12.
And Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim and Anamim and Lehabim and Naphtahim and Pathrasim and Caslahim, out of whom came Philistim and Kaphtorim. And Canaan begat Sidon his firstborn and Heth and the Jebusite and the Amorite and the Girgasite and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom, and Gomorrah, and Adma, and Zeboim, even unto Lasha.
Now see, all these Sodom and Gomorrah and Gaza and all these people, The Sodom and Gomorrah is already gone. And now the Gaza and all these people and all these enemies, you have to go and read the Isaiah chapter 17. You will see most of the some of the these Muslim countries. They will be destroyed and never be rebuilt. And so the time is coming. So this Ham's family was cursed. And when you going and reading in the book of Exodus, all these Jebusite and Girgashite and all sites means 31 kings and 7 nations will be destroyed. Means they are already destroyed. But when we're reading in Exodus, you will read that. Okay, let's finish this chapter.
These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries and in their nations.
Now, this is Japheth and Ham's family is already we have studied. Now comes the shame. Please read.
Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam and Ashur, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. And the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born 2 sons, the name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided.
Okay, now Peleg, the earth was not divided before this Babylon was fell. After the Babylon, and the earth was divided in the time of Peleg. Okay, we will be coming to that later. Okay.
And unto Eber were born 2 sons, the name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almadad, and Shelef, and Hazarmaveth, and Jerah, and Hadarim, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth, after the flood.
Now, we learn about Japheth's family, where they settle. We learn the Ham's family, where they settle. And now the Shem's family, he says, Shem's family settle in countries surrounding Palestine. So from the Shem's family, you are going to learn maybe end of the chapter 11 and beginning of the chapter 12. From the Shem's family, Abraham's family is coming. And so we will be studying that later on. So here we see Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Here is giving Japheth, Ham, and Shem. But they actually said Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so we learn all the demonic families, strong and healthy and prosperous, they all destroyed. And today you see Shem's family came, Jewish people, Israeli people, they are the smallest nation, and all around all the enemies. And everyone's eyes are on Jerusalem. The time is coming, even the small nation, they want to come and capture and destroy. But the word of God says, God will fight for Israel and all his enemy will be defeated. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. We are living in this world, all around us, many people who do not believe in God. Sometime in some neighborhood, only one family will be Christian. But Lord Jesus, let the people know, wherever you are, God is there. And use the name of Jesus. Save your house, your community, your city, and your country. There is nothing impossible with God. If each and every believer stand for Jesus Christ, we can win the whole world. before Jesus Christ comes. Give us grace to shine for Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.